Israel journeyed through the wilderness. They sinned against the Lord. You remember the Lord sent those fiery serpents into their midst. Multitudes were bitten. But then the Lord commanded Moses to pick one of those serpents, or an image of that serpent that called a fool. Those who looked, they were healed. They looked and they lived. And of course, in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of that great serpent upon the pole was really a type of him, because you may find it hard to believe a serpent could be a picture of Christ. You think of the old serpent in the garden, tempting men to sin, the very emblem of sin. But then we are reminded that Christ himself was needed to be sin for us. He took our sins, our sorrows, made them his very own. That serpent, of course, upon the pole points to Christ, our sin bearer, nailed to Calvary's tree. And all who look to him in fear and repentance will be saved, and they shall enjoy the life that only God can give. We pray that even this morning some soul will look to the Lord for this gift of eternal life. We're turning in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to commence reading in verse 17. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot see. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together, who have declared this from ancient time, who have told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Amen. We do know that God will bless the reading of his holy, inspired, errant, infallible word to our hearts this Lord's day. Let's unite together in prayer as we come to God's word, and let's seek the Lord's help as we preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our gracious God and our eternal Father, we do thank thee for the reading of thy word. We think of Paul's letter to Timothy, how he instructed that young man to give attention unto reading. Not merely the private reading of thy word in secret, for his own blessing and edification, but to read the Holy Scriptures in the public worship service, for the exaltation of thy great name, and for the edification of the saints of God. We find thee that thy word is truth. Sanctify us by thy truth. Lord, we pray that our minds, our hearts, and our lives will be brought into submission to the word of the living God. As we have read here this morning, every knee shall bow to Jesus Christ. And we understand that part of bowing to Christ means total, complete submission to the word of Christ, our great King, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. As we commend thy heart today with our own ideas, with our own personal theories, our own little notions, we pray that everything will be brought into subjection to the word of the Lord. May the word of Jesus Christ have free course and be magnified today. God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, thy strength and my redeemer, we ask all these things in thy name and for Christ's sake. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the words of the Lord in Isaiah 45, verse 22. Words that form a glorious invitation. Words that are really a great commandment from the mouth of Jehovah himself. Look unto me and be ye sealed, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. On a cold, wintry day in England, a snowy Lord's Day, on the 6th of January, 1850, a 16-year-old boy trudged through snowy streets, and he found himself eventually sitting in a little primitive Methodist chapel. It was such a bad winter's day that the minister was unable to preach that morning. Instead, one of the deacons got to his feet and stood behind the sacred desk, and he opened the scriptures and he began to preach upon the words of our text. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me, the preacher said. I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me, I am hanging upon the cross. Look unto me, I am dead and buried. Look unto me, I am risen and ascended into heaven. Look unto me, I am seated at the right hand of God. Then the preacher, that church deacon, fixed his gaze upon that cold, shivering youth. And eyeball to eyeball, he said, look. And that teenager testified on that day, at that moment, cold and shivering, he looked to Jesus Christ, and in verse 17 says, he was saved with an everlasting salvation. That youth was known as the Prince of Preachers, the great C.H. Spurgeon himself. He said that Deacon preached the gospel as he focused his attention upon Christ crucified, as he pointed to the Savior and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, suffering in agony and in blood." Spurgeon said, "I looked." Indeed, he said, "I looked till I could almost have looked mine eyes away." Such was God's revelation of Christ to his soul that day. That one involved in mercy enlightened the mind and the heart of that boy. And through the glorious light of the gospel, his soul was illuminated. And he was given the gift of faith to gaze upon Christ, the altogether lovely Son of God. And by that irresistible grace of God, drawn with the cord of loving kindness to Christ, see it, Spurgeon was seized with that everlasting salvation. I pray that even this morning in God's house, the Lord would be pleased to open the eyes of some sinner to see the irresistible beauty, the irresistible grace, the irresistible love of the Lamb of God. And oh, that today you would look to Jesus Christ and be seated for time and for the endless ages of eternity. And so this morning I want to consider with you this glorious invitation from the heart of Jesus Christ to the souls of men and women. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And in the first instance, our text is, of course, a most gracious invitation from the heart of Jesus Christ. Since Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, no man has ever deserved eternal life, no man has ever earned eternal salvation. Indeed, when you begin to look into the Word of God, you discover that no man by nature even desires the salvation that God offers to sinners from sin. Salvation from the power of sin, salvation from the penalty of sin, comes to us from the amazing grace of God. I hear you often saying the words of John Newton. John Newton, of course, was a slaver. He worked on the slave ship, bringing African slaves over to the Americas and off the coast of Ireland. John Newton came to know Christ. If you ever read his biography, he refers to things in that biography in a very careful manner, but things that he would not even want to be mentioned in a congregation such as this, how he abused those slaves. And yet there in mercy, God saved that man, and he penned those words, "Amazing grace, how great the sorrow that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." And there on that slaver, that ship, that man had his eyes opened and he came to Christ. He looked to Christ and Christ saved him. And certainly salvation comes to us through the amazing grace of God. But certainly, men and women, we are no better than John Newton was. We are all born in sin. We are all shapen in iniquity. We are all without any spiritual goodness or righteousness that God would ever accept. And here we discover in this portion of Scripture the testimony of those who were saved even in Isaiah's time, and the testimony of those who will be saved in the future. And they testify to this amazing That is the testimony of every true child of God in the Lord. We have salvation. That's really what these people were saying. And notice here our need of salvation from sin, our need of salvation from hell, it is completely provided in the Lord. Everything you need for this everlasting salvation is to be found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It is only in the Lord that we find salvation. Hence the good invitation, the good command of our text, look unto me, the Lord said, for righteousness, for strife, for everlasting life. Here we are reminded of man's total inability to save himself. Man's total inability to justify himself in the eyes of God. Here we read that a man has no strength in and of himself to deliver himself from either the power nor from the penalty of sin. The testimony of these believers is this: in the Lord I have strength, not in myself. This strength that has saved me is not found deep down in the human heart. It is not something that man has worked up from within his own soul. This strength that delivers from Satan and sin, this strength that delivers the soul from the power of sin, the penalty of sin, it is found in the person of Jesus Christ alone. And thus Christ says, look to me. You see, by nature, we have no spiritual strength. Remember what Paul said when he was writing to the church at Rome, at Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, without any spiritual ability whatsoever, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, by his own willful self-determination, rebelled in the Garden of Eden. He fell into sin. And he lost all his spiritual ability to serve God, to please the Lord. God had made Adam upright, the Bible declares. God made man holy, with an inclination toward the Lord, with a desire after holiness and Christ. But when man fell into sin by his own self-determination, by his own rebellious will, man lost all his ability to please God. He lost all his spiritual strength to do anything that would please God. And in that fallen and lost condition, he certainly had no ability to redeem himself. He had no ability to pull himself up out of his fallen condition or to lift himself out of the miry clay of sin. And so we realize from the Bible, from the testimony of Scripture, that the only hope for fallen men and women, such as we are by nature, is the almighty strength and power of Jesus Christ. He alone can save sinners from their sins. And this is the testimony of Scripture. In Him, in Christ, we have the strength. We find the strength to deliver our souls from sin. Of course, left to himself, fallen man would never even seek after God. He doesn't even have that strength of will remaining within him to so much as desire salvation from sin. Unless God comes and powerfully works or acts upon that sinner and gives him a new birth and a new nature and a new heart with holy desires, he will never so much as desire God's salvation. Paul tells us again, writing to the church of Rome, in Romans 3, verses 10, 11, 12, as it is written. And here Paul is writing to a New Testament church, but he's referring to the Old Testament church. This is what God says. The natural man, there is none that speaketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Let himself call a man who would never seek after God. He would never seek after God's salvation. Christ here in our tax free offer salvation. But that very offer comes to fallen man through the amazing grace of God. Christ says in John 5 verse 40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. The invitation, look and be saved, but men will not come. There is something wrong with the will of man. There is something wrong with the will of fallen sinners. Man will not come. He does not even desire to come left to himself. He does not desire to repent from his sins and come to Christ for the holy, everlasting salvation. Man does not want that. He loves his sin. In order for a soul to be saved, Christ must come heartily and bring that soul to new life. Christ must partly regenerate that man. Before he will ever repent, before he will ever exercise faith, Christ must, in mercy, in grace, in love, make that sinner willing to repent. And again, that is the testimony of Scripture. As the psalmist tells us there in Psalm 110, thy people, God's chosen people, God's elect people, thy people shall be willing when in the day of thy power. I remember when the Lord saved me. I see a Spurgeon sitting perhaps near the back of some church. I've been brought on the side of the gospel. I didn't doubt the truth of God's word. I've always heard that Jesus Christ, God the eternal Son, became man, and in love for sinners, he died on the cross. He rose again from the dead, never doubted the resurrection. There's a heaven, there's a hell, never questioned those things. At least not seriously. But I wasn't saved till one day, as a teenager, I was sitting in God's house, and I felt in that meeting, I had to get right with God. I felt I couldn't leave the service. What had happened? Well, God made me willing in the day of his power, and I thank the Lord for his grace. He didn't twist my arm behind my back and force me to my knees at the cross. But he regenerated me. He gave me new life. He gives me a new nature, he gives me a new heart, and there and then I find Christ irresistible. In the day of his grace and power, working in me. As Paul tells us in Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that is true of our Christian lives. We are willing to serve God. We do what God calls us to do. Not perfectly, but nonetheless, we are willing and we do what God commands us to do. But only because God is working in us. From the very first act that we did, faith in Christ and turning away from our sins. Why did we do that? It was because God in grace, God in mercy, worked in us that we would be willing. That new will comes with the new birth. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That new birth comes before, it precedes repentance and faith. Because we don't have that strength from within ourselves. Not so much as to will to be saved. Never mind actually to turn from our sins and look to Christ. Romans 9, verse 15 and 16, we see here that salvation depends upon the will of God. And Paul teaches us, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy. And here we see the gospel was the same for Moses as it was for the Gentiles in Rome. They were saved the very same way. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. John 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them did he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See, left to ourselves, fallen, Christ, hidden, sin loving man is not even willing to look to Christ. That is the dreadful condition of lost, fallen sinners in our community. Men who need to be praying that God will help in love and mercy. Give new life, give the new birth, and make sinners willing in the day of his power. But notice here also the righteousness that is necessary for salvation is from Christ also. It is the gift of his love, it is the gift of his mercy. In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. We have already referred there to Romans 3 verse 10, where we read of the natural man, God says, there is none righteous, no not one. Again, God made man upright, God created Adam righteous, holy. But when Adam fell, he lost that righteousness, not only for himself, but for all his posterity. And so now Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he says, by nature there is none born righteous into this world. And even with all their religious activities and all their supposed good works, there is still no man naturally righteous enough for God to accept him. We emphasize this last Lord's Day, but it tells us we are all as an all-thing thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy righteous. And then there are men and women still in this town, as in every other town, and they think that because of their religion, because of their church attendance, because of their baptism, because of their partaking of the Lord's table, because of their charitable deeds, they think they are righteous enough for God. And that is why they do not look to Christ. But here we are commanded in this fact that we are to be saved, we must look to Christ for our righteousness. That righteousness that is being offered to us in the gospel, the perfect, saving, justified righteousness of Jesus Christ, we must be in him. As we're told in Romans or Ephesians 1 verse 6, we are accepted. That means accepted in the eyes of God, accepted as being righteous. Accepted as if we had never sinned. We are accepted in the beloved, or as our text tells us, in Christ. What an amazing act of God's grace and God's love that Christ would come and take our sins and give us his righteousness. then you're a lost soul. You see, you need to repent not only from what people ordinarily call sin, but people need to repent from trusting in their own righteousnesses. For God says they are nothing better than filthy rags that will damage you. You need to come to Christ for cleansing and His blood. And you need to look to Christ for His righteousness. And if you do, the promise of our text is this: He will save you with an everlasting salvation. That is the message. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. None else can save you. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thus you must look to heaven. Look on to me and be saved. Where no one else can save you. I can't save you. This church can't save you. Eating the bread and drinking the wine at the Lord's table next Sabbath day can't save you. Physical baptism in water will not take your sins away. You must look Christ. But as well as a gracious invitation, our text is a global invitation. Look on to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth are invited, they hear commanded to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was an amazing thing. I was thinking about this morning in such a small congregation. What diversity we have here, people from various nations representing different parts of the earth. And yet in Christ we are one. We are the Lord's people. This gospel is for the world, not just for the Jew. The Jew does not have the monopoly upon Christ. The Jew does not have the monopoly upon the Messiah. Surely, as the Lord did deal in a special way with the Jews in the Old Testament, and I have no doubt God has a plan for a national Israel in the New Testament. Of course, He has a plan for national Israelites and the whole world. What a glorious thing that we are in Christ. We are not. We are the children of Abraham, spiritually. We are the seed of Abraham. If you turn your Bible there to Galatians 3, verse 26, we read these great truths, and you can read Galatians, read Ephesians, and we see what Christ has done for us. How we have been brought nigh, how we can rejoice that we are now heirs with the spiritual Jew. We are united together in Christ. And this is what Paul says in Galatians 3, in verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith. He's not saying everybody is a child of God. He's saying that if you have your faith in Jesus Christ, if you look on to the Lord, then you're a child of God. If you haven't, you're a child of the devil, a child of hell, as Paul says. Child of sin. Child of life. But if you have the experience of the new birth, if you have been regenerated, if you have repented and looked to Christ by faith, then you are truly a child of God. And listen to what Paul says. What does that mean? For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized, He's talking about what water baptism represents, spiritual baptism. You go home and you read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, and you discover a Christian is somebody who has been baptized by the Spirit into Christ. That's regeneration. Just as in the Old Testament, people were circumcised physically and went to hell because they never experienced spiritual circumcision, or as Jeremiah calls it, circumcision in the heart. So it is today, there are men and women baptized in water, and they will go to hell because they never experienced this spiritual baptism into Christ. They never spiritually pleaded into Christ. But here Paul is saying, if you have spiritually been pleaded into Christ, or baptized into Christ, then you put on Christ. And he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Are you in Christ this morning? Then you're Abraham's seed. You are spiritual Israel, an heir to the promises of the gospel. What a glorious truth that is. We are the Israel of God. Truth of the matter is this: Christ in our text takes the same gospel of grace, preached to Abraham, preached to Isaac, and preached to Jacob. And he preaches it to the world. Some of the Jews had difficulty with that. Even the apostles at the beginning had some difficulty with that. But Paul was the great apostle to the Gentiles. Emphasize these glorious truths of the gospel. We who were once Gentiles according to the flesh, foreigners, aliens, we have been brought back by the blood of Jesus. Christ offers salvation to the world. And he offers salvation this morning to every man, woman, child in this house. Look, he says. Look on to me. Be ye saved. Let me just say in closing, this gracious global invitation is genuine. Christ means it. Whosoever you are, however you've lived your life, look to Christ this morning. In love, in mercy, grace, he will see. He will save you. When you look to Christ, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, the Lord offers you eternal life. Those who go to hell from this meeting, that's a solemn call. It would not be our desire that anyone would go to hell if we missed it. But if you go to hell if we missed it, if you lose your soul when you die, it's not because Christ unwilling to save you. This invitation of Jim, I don't pretend nor profess to understand or explain to everyone's satisfaction all the words and all the works of God. But I know this, Jesus Christ is God who cannot lie. Jesus Christ says to every soul in this house, look on to me. And if you look, you will see. Will you look this morning? If you go to hell, as we read there, if you look at verse 24, if you go to hell, that's on your shoulders. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. What about those who don't come? Listen to the rest of the verse. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. But men don't come to Christ because, well, they don't have any will to come. No desire for the Lord. Like Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? There is no beauty in him that we should desire. They don't desire Christ. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear, the natural man hates Christ. But once one verse 30 speaks of the natural man speaking of God, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, they hated me without a cause, and that's why they'll hate you too, by the way. Why will you not live for Christ this morning? He loves sinners. His full of grace and mercy. Through his life, through his death, through his blood, he provided all man needs for this everlasting salvation. He has the power to save you from hell and to give you everlasting life. Why would you not look to him? I'll tell you why. You are not willing. Because you love yourself. Give God. May the Lord have mercy. May God bring you to repentance to know your sin. And to love the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us sinner here today. He gave to see us first. That cold winter's day in the The grace to look to Jesus Christ and be saved with an everlasting salvation. Let's bow together for prayer. Let's all pray.